So here's a little exercise you can do. And this is not some kind of spiritual thing. This is just, I was watching a few shorts about if you go through like a little stressful situation. Take a deep breath. Hold it. And then take a little tiny deeper breath. And what it's doing is expanding your lungs a little bit more. So take a deep breath. And then take another little small deep breath once you take that deep breath. I think it's best to do it while you're standing up, because I did it when I was laying down. It kind of gave me a little bit of pain. But when you do it standing up, your lungs are just expanded. Anyway, that's just a short note, some, in case you never heard that before. It really works. I don't usually get stressed. I'm pretty much in the mode of self-awareness, and I've always got boundaries up. I've got like 30 boundaries up at all times, you know, dealing with people, situations, or whatever, especially since I had to do, since I've did rideshare for 10 years, you have to always be aware of your surroundings, you know, keep yourself safe, you know. When people start to talk stupid stuff, you ask them, you say, hey, do I need to pull over and let you get another ride, another Uber? And they usually just calm down and say, nah. But I'm always in pretty much a state of awareness, peace, solitude, peace, no stress. That's my normal state of being. And here's the deal. If for some reason you quantum connect with a person, place, or thing that makes you lose your peace, then it depends on the situation, but it might last an hour, a day, a week. It might even last 2 months. You have to ask yourself, why did I lose my peace? You could be saved, but why did you lose your peace? Peace is the thermometer, right? Peace is your thermometer. And if you lose your peace, it's a sign. There's a reason you lost your peace. And that thermometer of peace is a huge, huge sign. It's a huge red flag. If it's a person, there's a red flag. It's a place, red flag. Something, red flag, red flag. And you might not know what it is. You might not know what the source is. You might not know what the trigger is. But what you got to do is recognize you lost your peace. And then just knock, seek, and ask. And it doesn't matter if it takes a year. It doesn't matter if it takes 6 months. It doesn't matter if it takes 2 months. It doesn't matter what it takes. But eventually, you're going to get a breakthrough. And that breakthrough will address the trigger point, will address the issue, will address the hidden motives of the heart, or whatever you want to call it. I know I lose my peace if I'm around a lost person too long. I have to get away from them, because these lost people are just in delusions. They're running in programs. If I hang out with a lost person more than 2 minutes, 3 minutes, I lose my peace, because they have no biblical knowledge. They have no logic. They have no ability to logically think, you know. It's really wild. When you talk to a believer, it's total peace. You know, people don't have to know everything, but you can tell when you're talking to a believer, they're humble. They're wanting to learn. They learn from each other. Doesn't matter if you're a master teacher of the Bible, you're still going to learn from every believer that you talk to, because everybody who's saved has the Holy Spirit, and you learn from everybody. You can learn from a child. And so, because you are a disciple, which goes back to following the teacher, the Holy Spirit's your teacher. So when you're talking to another believer, it's like back and forth teaching. You're teaching each other. You're learning from each other, from their experiences, from their questions. If you have a question, you know, they might have been through something you've never been through. You know, they might have a different perspective. But I promise you, when you talk to another believer, they really listen. They really care. And it's more of a caring about your soul. It has nothing to do with your finances or your looks or your... They really do care about your soul. And if you never experience it, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Because it's the real deal. But for the most part, society is 95-98% unsaved. And when you do talk to a saved person, it's like a different world, you know. And so that would be a good reason to have fellowship at a church, you know, just to be able to talk to believers. You know, if it's a good church, if they're not legalistic and the people are really saved. There's a lot of people in church who are not even born again. But seeking that peace in the midst of a society that's nothing but turmoil and chaos, you've got to get by yourself. You've got to get in the Word. You've got to create a... You don't have to do anything, but I would say this for myself. You've got to create a routine that keeps you in that state of awareness of your inner man, you know. And so when you're aware of your inner man, your inner thoughts, your inner motives, your inner whatever. Let's say you had a fear of whatever. You faced the fear right on. Let's say you had a fear of a flat tire. Well, go help people putting flat tires on. If you see somebody with a flat tire, go help them. You do that 3 or 4 times, you'll never have another fear of a flat tire because you'll know how to do it. You'll know how to fix it. You have a fear of, I don't know, not knowing how to cook for yourself or something. Go take a cooking class. Face the fear head on, whatever the fear is. The medical stuff. You have a fear of the doctors lying to you. Go study Dr. Berg. Become your own doctor. And I'm not saying you have to go to medical school. Start studying what the nutrients you need. There's three kinds of food. Carbs, oils, and protein. Why didn't they tell us that in school? Sugar is your worst enemy. Why didn't they tell you that? Sugar causes inflammation. Why didn't they tell you that? Carbs turn to sugar. Why didn't they tell you that? How come nobody told you that sugar causes inflammation? How come nobody told you about MCT oil? How come nobody ever told you about extra virgin olive oil? Just Google it. AI it. And you'll find out you've been lied to your whole life. If you see somebody contradicting themselves all the time, I don't care if they're singing in the choir. I don't care if they're playing the piano. If they're contradicting themselves all the time, they're a liar. They're a liar. They're a liar. They are a liar. If you see the corporations playing mind games on people, they're playing it on you too. So you have to make sure when you punch in, you don't believe the lies. You just do your job and you go home. That's not your family. They want it to be a cult nowadays. They've turned the corporate system, which is run by BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. They run all the corporations. They want you to, they all try to turn your job into a cult. They have cult leaders that they indoctrinate you into, like, oh, this is your family. No, it ain't. It's not my family. My family's the born again saints. That's my family. I think I'm going to say born again 90% of the time instead of just saved. I'm going to say born again because the born again, and somebody one time rebuked me on the other channel. He said, it's born from above. Well, I had to look that up in the Greek, and I think I did look at it. It probably does say that. But born from above versus born again, you know, second birth, you know, people should know what I'm talking about. your real family are the born again. When you're doing business with people, because you have to function down here in this crazy, stupid society, this 3D simulated training program. Don't trust anybody who's not saved. And even if they are saved, hold them accountable because they're going to mess up too. If you got your food and clothing, source of income, you got your health. And if you don't, God regenerates your body, you know. You can get your health back, you know. But if you got your health, be thankful in all things. Even if you're struggling, be thankful, because the struggle pushes you through to the other side. Don't be content to be, don't play the victim. Don't become a victim. Don't let them victimize you. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the truth. You're secure in Christ. They're insecure. Everything they do is insecurities. You're secure in Jesus. You have all the power. The world has no power. The only power they have is the hive. Why do you think they want you to get drunk and go out to their parties? Because they want to psychic vampire off of your power. You don't need to be a part of that. That's not who you are. Not who you are. And they never stop your whole life. I thought maybe after you hit a certain age, they'd leave you alone, but they don't. After you hit a certain age, they're thinking, oh, well, this person might be getting ready to retire in 10 years or whatever. Oh, I'm gonna yoke up with them and get their Social Security. I thought it would end, but they never stop. Their motive, they're going to reveal their motive. How do you catch a person's motive? The way they treat others is the way they'll treat you. Birds of a feather flock together. There you go. Pay attention to what they watch. Pay attention to what kind of music they listen to. Pay attention to where they hang out or who they hang out with. Everything is revealed. You have the Holy Spirit, you know all things. The Bible is very clear. And if you feel like, well, I don't know all things, cut the music off, cut the TV off, and just think about it. Think about the past. Think about your grandparents, your parents, your kids, your grandkids, whatever. And think about all the interactions at a job or your neighbors. It's all repeating. It's already happened. Think about your ex. It all repeats. The biggest thing I noticed in the last few months is these familiar spirits try to jump back in. And because that's a familiar spirit, you might think, oh, I'm in love with this person. But it's a familiar spirit. If you were raised in an unsaved family, it's a familiar spirit from the unsaved. That's all you knew growing up. And that's all you dated before you got saved. So these familiar spirits, you think it's love, but it's just a familiar spirit. And the devil knows this. So he'll take a person over and they'll become demonized or whatever the word is. If you ever have a narcissist around you and they say something that you think, how did they know that? That's impossible. 99% chance it's a demon spirit. Now, if they're a spirit-filled person, it could be conviction of the Holy Spirit or it could be a confirmation. You have to discern, is this from above or below? Is it pulling you into darkness, or is it convicting you into the light? Is it resonating as truth? Is it resonating as, yeah, I need to move towards the light and not the darkness? Is it a tormenting spirit, you know? When Jesus rebuked people, he drew them to himself. But when he rebuked the demons, they were tormented. they were tormenting spirits, and he rebuked them, and they got tormented. If you get tormented instead of convicted of sin, maybe that's something that you need to face off with, you know. If the preacher's up there preaching and he says abortion is murder and that torments you, you're running from the truth. But if it convicts you, oh yeah, I had an abortion, I need to repent of that and ask God to forgive me. That tormenting spirit doesn't want, you don't want to hear that. You want to run from something like that, you know. The past is the past, right? I promise you, if you take the etymology and you unfold it and use your Bible as the as your litmus test. Let's just say you read the book of Proverbs, right? Let's say you read chapter 1 in Proverbs or chapter 1 in Psalms, and you take all those words and you look up the etymology, your mind will be opened a thousandfold, because when you understand the root of the word, you see to the root of the passage. Yes, you need the context, but when you take the root of the word in the context with the power of the Holy Spirit, you can actually see deeper than most preachers even see. Because, yeah, they might study the Greek, but you're looking at every word and you're looking at where it came from, the source. And as you unfold words, as you're reading the Bible, you're going to see deeper. And then eventually, if you do this for 5 to 7 years, you'll see everything around you. Every time somebody opens their mouth, they're speaking biblical truth and don't even know it. And it could be in the flesh or it could be in the spirit, but hopefully they're speaking in the spirit. But either way, it's the Bible is full of examples of the flesh versus the spirit. So the Bible's not going to lie to you. It's going to tell you this, the true state of the human condition, which is what? Born in sin, the flesh mind versus the spirit mind, the flesh walk versus the spirit walk. And if you say, well, what is the spirit walk? Read Galatians 5:22. Well, I don't know how to do it. Pray about it. Die daily. Renew the mind. Well, how do I love my enemy? Here's one. The Bible says, love your enemy. How do I do that? You are your own worst enemy, to be honest with you. But anyway, when you look at that other person who is an enemy, were you ever in that state? Were you ever angry? Were you ever bitter? Did you ever have murder in your heart? Did you ever have hatred in your heart? Well, you're just like them till God saved you. How do I forgive them? What do you mean, how do you forgive them? You've done just as bad to somebody else. You did it. It might not have been the exact same thing, but you've done it somewhere along the way. And not only that, if God forgave you, you should be able to forgive somebody else. That doesn't mean you have to have them in your world or in your space or in your atmosphere. But you forgive everybody. So you take a thought, if somebody says, well, how do I forgive them? Well, let's just think about it. Calm down. Step out of your emotions. Look at yourself from the outside. Think about if somebody else said that. Step out of your emotions. Look at the situation and say, what is their motive? What is their motivation? Why did they say that? Do they do it to other people? Are they just doing it to you? Are they a psychopath? Are they a sociopath? Are they narcissists? You should be able, in this day and time, there's enough education online. You should be able to recognize psychopaths, sociopaths, and narcissists. And you should be able to recognize selfish people. There's too much information online. And so if you educate yourself on that, then you can say, oh, I can forgive them because they don't even know what they're doing. The narcissist doesn't even know that they're running on insecurities and all this stuff, all these programs. Jesus says, forgive them. They know not what they're doing because most people are running on a program. And then even when you see the programs, you still have to function. You still have to be aware of it, because you could just fall right back into it if you do. You know, it's not who you are, but anyway. I just wanted to do a quick message. You have the whole truth. You really don't need a teacher. You might need it for a few years, but you got the Holy Spirit. You got the Bible. You know all things. He that began a good work in you will finish it. It's already finished, really, to be honest with you. You're already seated in the heavenlies. I don't know why this is hard to understand. You know, I see a lot of comments on these narcissists. They're all bent out of shape. Oh, they hurt me. They destroyed me. And blah. And they live that. And they've been living that way 2 or 3, 4, 5 years. It's like, come on, get over it. You learned a lesson. God allowed it. You saw the red flags, but you ignored them. It's your fault. Move on. Yeah, but they took everything. Restart. Reboot. Go get 2 jobs. Get out of debt. And reboot. And don't look back. And anybody who's associated with that person, and they keep talking about the person, cut them out of your life. Because you don't need to look back in the past. I'm serious. You got to do that. If there's somebody still associated with your ex that triggers you, and you tell that person, I don't want to hear from about them ever again. And if they keep bringing it up, say, okay, I'm done. Cut you out. Because they're trying to get you to live in the past. They don't even know it. And they might be doing it on purpose, but most of the time they don't know it. Start a new life. Start brand new. Because they're trying to keep you in an old identity. It's not even who you are. Anyway. I got to go get some food and do some stuff while it's warm before it gets back to 20 degrees. I don't know what the title is, but just a motivational thing. Just get up, set some new goals, and don't look back. And if you're tied to one of them with kids or whatever, change yourself and everything has to change. God will either, he will, if you change your inner man, God will remove those people out of your life. One way or the other. I had a whole family persecuting me at one time. And I just prayed. And this was in 3D. This wasn't online. This was in 3D. And I prayed to God. I said, Lord, they just keep on. And I heard through the grapevine, they just disappear. And I thought, well, that's good. God answered my prayer. 2 months later, somebody called. Did you hear such and such die? No, I didn't. Did you hear their dad die? No, I didn't hear that. The whole family died off. When you leave it in God's hands, he'll even take people out if they keep messing with you. Because you have a calling. If you're saved, you have a calling. And these unsaved people, they project something onto you that's not even real. They get mad at you for something that's not even real, something they did. That's the weird part about it. They're mad at you because of something they did. Now, check that out. Because there's a demon blocking them from being able to be convicted of sin, you know.